You are listening to the Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Welcome back to this episode of Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama. Today's episode is all about an incredible mural artist, and unfortunately, we can't show you the amazing work she does through the podcast, but I highly recommend looking it up after this episode. Joining me today is the talented Jessie Andrews. Jessie, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to talk with you.
Yeah, me too. You have done some incredible mural artwork. Can you tell us a little about your background in art and what got you interested in mural art specifically?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. I feel like the way that I got ushered into this career, it wasn't necessarily an intentional decision that I made. I went to art school and I studied art, and I don't know, it just never somehow clicked with me that this would be my career path. It wasn't a conscious decision, but my whole life I was always building things and being creative and trying to find solutions to problems, like with my Barbie dolls, what are they going to wear, you know, just always like, yeah, like making things and making furniture. And then one day when I was a senior in high school, I just randomly decided to paint this giant mural in my bathroom in my parents' house. And luckily they were really cool about it, but it was just like this giant face in the bathroom, and it's still there today. And I was like, man, that was so cool. That was so fun to just like paint this very large scale piece of artwork. And then from there, it just was like this very organic flow into me starting to make abstract pieces for people's houses. And then that was about 4 years ago. I started to sell that artwork online, and I decided to do my artwork as circles, because at that time I had never really seen people who made circular artwork. It was very unique to me, and so I was drawn to it because it wasn't something I commonly saw. And so then I would do these abstract art pieces on these circles, and I was very inspired by space. Yes, because we live in the Rocket City, but also because it's like this magical realm of existence that we know so little about. So it's just like the mystery of the space is so phenomenal to me. Anyways, I'd make these pieces of art on these circles, and I would name them like Andromeda or something like that. And people started to call them planets. And so then I got I applied, or someone asked me to do like a very small public art project in Clinton Row Color Walk, which is the space store. Mm-hmm. And I guess that received like a lot of positive feedback on Instagram. People were uploading photos in front of it. And then I was asked to do this like 1,000 square foot mural. And I was like, okay, this is a huge jump. You know, like this is not really like, I'm a seasoned muralist at this point. This is just this grand opportunity. What do I want to do? And I was like, okay, I know I want to do these circular abstract quote unquote planets. So then I made this giant galactic mural in downtown Huntsville, and that kind of blew up for me. And it just rolled into all of these other very large challenges. So now I'm a muralist 2 years later. That was a long answer, but I don't know. I hope that like kind of contains some sort of sense in it.
Yeah, that's so cool, though. Like Barbie dolls in a bathroom, you know, and that's how you got the start. Maybe mural artistry is in my future, because I also did that with my Barbie dolls. I made furniture, and I made clothes out of like scrap fabric and everything.
Yes. So
maybe I'm missing my calling here.
Maybe you are. Maybe this is the episode where you figure out your next step in life. But it's so funny, though, because when I remember being in middle school, even, and being in the shower. So this kind of ties into being an entrepreneur, not so much an artist. But I remember like using the shampoo bottle as a microphone and like pretending to be on QVC and like selling the soap, you know. I was like, today only this bar of Dial you can have for $2.99. And it's so funny to think about.
I love it. Did you ever practice like an acceptance speech with your shampoo also for winning an award?
No, I don't think I did. Did you do that?
Yeah. A Grammy. I was going to win a Grammy, even though I cannot sing at all.
I feel like every kid at some point thought that they were going to be a musician. I don't know. It seems to be something that everyone's like, yeah, I'm going to be famous for singing.
Yeah, that's right. I know. We've all practiced our acceptance speech, you know, in the bathroom with. That's so funny. Well, let's dive into some more of the murals that you've created. You mentioned Galactic, and that's on our North Alabama Mural Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's close to Holmes Avenue and Washington Street.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah, you can see it if you're at Moe's and Melt downtown. If you're standing in front of Moe's and you look to the right, you can see it.
I've seen a lot of people taking pictures with it. I've seen wedding photos in front of it, actually.
I know. I've seen music videos. I know. It's insane. And it's nice, too, because within like a 2-minute drive, you can see a lot of murals that I've done. And there's there's very often somebody in front of one of them. And I'm like, oh, hi. And I'll like slow down and take a photo. And I'm sure they don't know who I am. And they think I'm just a creepy like stalker. But I'm like, oh, man, that's so cool. It never gets old.
You just yell out, that's my mural. Thank you.
I know. I'm really bad about signing my murals, though. That's kind of off point. But I just, once I finish, I don't even really care about the signature. And everyone's like, you need to go back and put your signature on it. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I do, but I don't know. The art is the signature.
Yeah. So you go by Honeyblood Art. How did that name come about?
Honeyblood Art is what Honeyblood is what my friend called me in high school. And I have no idea to this day where he got that nickname from. But it's funny. Yeah, it's so weird. It's funny because my aunt, we called her Aunt Honey, and I only ever knew her as Honey. And honestly, I don't even know her birth name now. Like, she was just Honey my whole life. And so then I just thought that was so cute that people are called Honey and Darling and like all these cute little pet names. So when my friend started to call me Honeyblood, I was like, okay, that's beautiful. It's sweet. It's like mysterious. It's kind of, I don't know, you remember it, you know, which I like about it a lot. So, I never thought that I would have a business doing art. So it was just a name at the time, but now it works.
That is so cool. I love that.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so another mural that you have recently done, it's like an abstract chandelier. Can you tell us what inspired that artwork?
Yeah, so 106 Jefferson, the hotel, just opened up. And even before it was done with its construction, I knew that it was just going to be like a super special, beautiful place for Huntsville. And then immediately next to it is Fat Sammy's, which I adore. It's, I don't know if you've been there, but it's like a super incredible restaurant with like an actually fantastic chef. Anyways, so they had this giant wall on the backside of their building, and I just kept driving past it. And I was like, man, that would be a perfect wall for a mural. And so I reached out to Chad Emerson at DHI and Wesley Crunkleton, who owns Crunkleton Real Estates. And they essentially just were like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's have a mural here. We've been already thinking about it. We love that you reached out. And they wanted something classy and something vibrant that would complement what was happening on the inside of 106 Jefferson. So we were like, okay, let's do a fun, vibrant chandelier. And for me, I'm always trying to add something like optimistic and like a surprising, beautiful, vibrant thing that you're not expecting to see. So when you turn around the corner, it's like, oh, here's this, I don't know, it just feels so happy to me. Like, here's this bright rainbow without being gaudy, just like this bright, vibrant rainbow chandelier. It just makes me feel like it is a celebration, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so cool. And 106 Jefferson, it totally fits that vibe. We had a meeting there not long ago, and that is the coolest. It is the coolest hotel in downtown.
It's so cool. Oh, my gosh.
Really neat.
The smell. Yeah. Yes. Everything about it. I'm like, I want to just live here.
Yeah, I know. And then the Baker and Abel rooftop bar is so cute. How it's, you know, in honor of Miss Baker and, you know, the monkeys that went up in space. That's so neat.
Yeah.
I love that.
Know.
You've recently finished another mural too, right?
Yeah, one at Mid-City.
Yeah, tell us about that one. Yeah.
Well, I actually just finished one at Mid-City. I finished one at, I don't know if I'm technically supposed to say this, but I'll tell you, the new Facebook data center. And I finished one behind Sea Salt, which is in the parking garage on Clinton Avenue.
Okay.
Yeah, but the one at Mid-City, I'm really proud of it, honestly. It's this giant arched portal kind of looking into this ombre'd, this very simplistic ombre scenery with these dogwood flowers coming out into the portal, and around the portal on the black part it says good fortune, and it has these aluminum cut stars that were installed on top, so they're 3D they're color shift. So when you look at them from one angle they're blue, when you look at them from another angle they're purple. And there's just so many things in that one specifically that were personal to me. Like dogwoods are very Southern, and they were my grandmother's favorite tree, and she passed away a few months ago. So to me, it was like, okay, how can I make this? I don't know. I think what I'm realizing now is like, how can I add just little subtle, colorful messages of positivity? Because the world can be a dark place, and it can be so pessimistic yes. that it's like, let's try and add as much beauty and positivity as we can.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how you add like bits of yourself in there, things that pay tribute to, you know, your family, your past, things like that. That's cool.
Thank you. Thanks. That was actually yeah. good advice that I got from a friend not too long ago. I felt really challenged on like, you know, everybody wanted a mural, not everybody, but a lot of people wanted a mural, and they would give me this freedom of like, we want you to do what you want to do, which sounds great, but it's like, I want to do so many different things. And my mind is at this point in my career, like all over the place. So to not have any bit of guidance or feedback, it's kind of like, it's almost too much for a very creative person because you need yeah. parameters to, but my friend gave me advice and was like, you know, if you weren't getting paid for it, if you just wanted to paint what you wanted to paint, like, what do you enjoy? What do you like? And I've tried to incorporate that a little bit more into my work.
That's cool. I love that. Yeah, we had Adam Stevenson on, mm-hmm. which you mentioned that y'all are friends, and he shared the inspiration behind a couple of the murals that he's done that's on our mural trail with his family, mm-hmm. his sister and dad yes. and granddad. And he also talked about his process. And can you tell us about how you create art on such a large scale? Because it's just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say for each mural for me, the process changes. So it's not always just like one hard way of doing it. But typically after the initial meeting that I have with the client, we'll kind of run by like, okay, are you trying to promote a brand, or do you want specifically just to have something beautiful on the side of your wall? Because one is more artistic, one is more marketing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I try to find colors that like complement the space that already exists. I try to pull from elements that will reflect what's happening on the inside of the building, or, you know, what's connected like with the ethos of the company. And so then I'll come up with this really rough like summary paragraph of, here's what I'm kind of thinking. Tell me if you're feeling, you know, where I am mentally, like, are you on the same, are we on the same page? Are we going in a good direction? And then after that, typically everybody is like, yeah, sounds good. Let's just see what you create. And then I'll start to sketch on my iPad. And from there I come up with like a few different arrangements of elements. So it's not a completed mock-up. It's just kind of a rough splattering of initial ideas. And then mm-hmm. I send that off to the client for review. And, then we'll have a meeting or a phone call or a Zoom meeting or whatever it is. And from there, we'll decide on the elements that we like the most, and I'll send them a final rendering. And then as far as starting the painting goes, typically, you know, you always need like a lift or a scissor lift, a man lift, a boom lift, something like that. And then I'll prime the entire wall in a high quality primer. And then typically, sometimes I'll project it, but then sometimes I'll use like a squiggle grid, or I'll just kind of eyeball it, honestly. Like the one I did at Mid-City, I was like, I feel like I could just eyeball this well enough and then touch it up. And it worked out perfectly fine. But yeah, like so with the Mid-City one and with the Celestial Symphony, the Galactic one, both of those have 3D elements. So it's like some work that's done off-site. And actually, I guess another one that I just did for a private client was 3D as well. So I like to incorporate different elements into the murals and, you know, try to make it, I don't know, a step more interesting than just like a flat mural.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Okay.
I know. And just watching like some of the before and after of the murals that I've, you know, the artists that I follow, of seeing that squiggle grid, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And it just absolutely amazes me that you can take, I mean, literally, I mean, squiggles, it's, you yeah. know, it's pretty self-explanatory, and then come up with this amazing mural. So that is so cool. And then just eyeballing it, that is, I'm truly in awe of you for eyeballing those, because
thank you.
The scale is, you know,
It's cool. Mm,
thank you for saying that, because I think myself and probably a lot of other entrepreneurs, it's like you get in your head about what you know you're capable of doing, and you always want to push that boundary and that limit, and you always want to do more than you currently know how to do, you know? So it's constantly a learning process, which, I mean, I love that about it, honestly. I never, ever, ever feel like I get to a moment where I'm like, oh, I pretty much know how to do every single thing here. It's like, no, like you could add a 3D element, or like make it augmented, or, you know, what else can be done? There's so much.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. And I know it's fascinating, you know, the impact that a mural can have on a community. I mean, it could really change the whole vibe of a downtown area. I know here in Decatur, we've got that beautiful mural on Second Avenue, and it really does, it changes it. It just completely changes it. And I know that you're very passionate about that. So can you speak on the effects of murals on a community?
Yeah, I have so many opinions about this, and this is in the hardest moments of, you know, every career has challenges, and in the hardest moments of this career, I'm like, man, why do I do this? Why do I care about it? And it is genuinely because of the community connections that it gives me and that it brings other people, because like nobody has to know that I've done it. You know, I don't care if people know Honeyblood or Jesse Andrews. The fact that it elevates a space so much is like really inspiring to me. And I read this study years ago, and I know I'm going to completely dissect it incorrectly, but it was saying that there was this crime-ridden town, I believe somewhere in Asia. And I need to look it up before I even speak on this, because I'm not going to say it correctly. But it was just a very dangerous area, and it was dirty. And, you know, the people were probably wonderful, but like it wasn't a safe space.
Yeah.
And they decided to put this giant Buddha statue on the corner. And within several months, like the crime went down, the pollution, or not the pollution, the what do you call it when you trash on the side of the road?
Oh, litter?
Yes, the litter. Okay. The litter went down. It's like people regained a sense of pride because someone had invested into it. So I think that when the city, when the government, when organizations, when communities invest into making their city better, not just through businesses and architecture and parks, but through art, you know, it builds up this sense of pride and this sense of connection, and also this like inquiry of like, ooh, what is that? I want to go and see it myself. I'm seeing these photos of it, but like, where is it? Let me go and find it. Yeah. And I think that that's really honestly just so incredibly cool.
Yeah. It's like it adds value. And then once you, when you see something that's really nice, like you tend to want to keep it nice, you know, and take care of it. And that is really cool. I totally get that it would make, you know, change that whole area.
That's something else that I was reading about public art, and it was saying Google, some article is saying that if you have an area of the world that doesn't really get like lights and doesn't really get attention, even if everybody notices it on a daily basis, the people who actually like frequent this area the most feel that it is unseen and feel that it's going under the radar. And so the tendency towards doing something bad there or towards it being a sketchy place is more likely because it's not getting any sort of highlight, any sort of focus, any sort of care or attention. So why should anybody else care about it? So anyways, I am a huge fan of art and how it's helped me on an emotional level, how it seems to be contributing optimistically to society. I don't see any bad about it, really.
Yeah. It's almost like when you're creating something with your hands, you're painting, you're building, it's in a weird sort of way, it feels like it's giving you hope that you're investing in something that's going to last and people are going to appreciate for a long time.
I completely agree with that. And even people who say that they're not creative or they're not artistic, still having the support of those people and people who, like you having me on your podcast, you know, like that is so huge to me, and I'm so grateful for it because it helps me to continue on what I'm doing, which I feel is important work, you know?
Yeah. So cool. Where are some other places we can find your artwork?
Okay. I'm trying to remember all of them, but some of my favorites are in North Cortland. There is a really large mural there and a beautiful tiny little city with the most wonderful people and amazing mayor. There's a piece there, and it's an exterior mural. There are several in North Huntsville. One that you can see from Moe's off of Holmes, one off of Clinton, one in the parking garage behind Sea Salt off of Clinton. There's a pavilion mural in front of the courthouse next to the park. There are seven different utility boxes painted all around Big Spring Park. There is a door in Clinton Row Color Walk. I feel like I'm probably missing several, but that's where you can find murals specifically. But then also, if you want to check my Instagram at honeyblood.art, that's where I have a lot of my, I want to say original work, because that's what kind of got me into mural work, but it's a completely different style. It's more just abstract. And so to me, they're not really correlated, but they're both like equal parts of my business and my day-to-day life.
Yeah, I feel like we could create like a Honey Blood Art mural trail.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. That's a good idea. I like you.
I'm sitting here thinking like, oh, okay, there's tons of them around. Mm-hmm. Where is the oyster that you recently did? Is that behind Sea Salt?
It's behind Sea Salt, yeah. Okay. If you're in front of 106 Jefferson or in front of Fat Sammy's, there's a little, I'm trying to think, that there's the parking garage right across the street from Fat Sammy's. And if you walk in the side there, it's on the wall, it's facing the east, and it's behind Sea Salt.
Cool. I saw that one on your Instagram and I thought, oh, I've got to go find it. It's so adorable. Aww,
thank you. Thanks. That's what's really cool too, is like working with businesses, you know, it's just a challenge because it's not, I know a lot of artists and muralists who are paid to do specifically their style, and that's great. And I admire them and support them, but I really like working with businesses to kind of like have to, I don't know, uniquely come up with something that, that honors their business. You know, it's not just me and my work. It's like, what are you trying to say to people? Let's figure it out together.
That's cool. Thank you. What would you say is your favorite part of your job?
I would say connecting with other people is my favorite part of my job. I feel really limitless when it comes to the types of people that I get to work with and connect with. And I mean, I've worked with really small inner city school children, and I've worked with mayors, and I've worked with other artists. I've done collaborations with photographers and videographers, and that is hands down my favorite part of it, is just having meetings and getting to know people and understanding, you know, what they're interested in. And I don't know, I just love people a lot. And I think Huntsville has an amazing community. Honestly, I think that we're so lucky. And Decatur too. I mean, I don't know a ton about Decatur, if I'm being honest, but I know that there are a lot of good people trying to do wonderful things there.
Yeah, those connections. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And I can feel your passion for your art, the people that you work with. And I know that our listeners can feel that as well. So for all of our listeners out there, where can they find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram, honeyblood.art. On Facebook, I think I'm just Honeyblood Art. But if you search Huntsville, Alabama, Honeyblood Art, you're going to find me. I'm in the middle of working on my website, so I don't have a site that I can send you to. But even if you don't have an Instagram account, you can still view mine, and my email's on there if you want to get in touch with me.
Yeah, so y'all need to give her a follow. Yes, and North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. And don't forget to check out the North Alabama Mural Trail at northalabama.org. Because when you check into these places, you can earn prizes. So that's really cool.
That's cool.
I know. Everybody wants t-shirts and caps and things. So, yeah. Y'all get to exploring out there. Well, thanks for joining us. And we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama adventures. This has been another episode of the Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Malia Hames and produced by Relic.